Art Supply Posse. It's Kim here, bringing you a chat with artist Julia Vanderwig. Julia featured in episode 86, way back in March 2020. So long ago, right? Like it feels like 10 years ago. That's how long these couple of years have been. But anyway, that's probably another podcast for another day and probably not even an art supply, an art podcast while we're at it. But lots have changed since then. And, you know, Julia reached out to me asking if we could record another episode. And I thought, why not? Like we just have to get together and talk art supplies again. It was great to talk back way back in 2020. And I'm curious to know where things are at now for Julia, what's changed, what's stayed the same. So Julia, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So in case we've got some listeners that haven't pushed pause and gone back to episode 86, or maybe they just need a memory jog because it was so long ago, could you just share with the listeners a little bit about who Julia is and maybe your art, what kind of, you know, what art you're making? Let's just have a little chat.
Sure. So I am an artist and musician, and I have been making my living as a web developer, actually. Mm-hmm. But I've got my degree in fine art, painting and printmaking. Those are my two art loves for sure. And now I've forgotten the other part of the question.
Well, the other part of the question is like a big one that could literally take about 4 hours to answer. So we kind of, you know, should break it down. But like, what is your art, like, well, what is your art practice today compared to when it was when we last spoke? Because when we last spoke, to sort of bring the listeners up to speed, we were talking about, or you were talking about, moving away from traditional, I guess, art supplies that were causing some health problems, or, you know, you should explain that, not me. And you're at the beginning of that journey, or sort of right in the midst of that journey. So maybe bring the listeners up to speed as to what that journey was and then where it's at now, like what you've found that works and how that sort of process was.
Right. Thank you. Yes. So my original obsession with painting were oil paints. I've always used water base and ink as well, but I absolutely loved oil paints. I loved going out doing plein air landscape painting. I'm going to be Monet and Cezanne wrapped into one person, you know, and then also printmaking involves a lot of chemicals that you would often wear a respirator to deal with. And it's also a lot of physical labor, in fact. And what I've found, I have relatively recent health limitations. I now have more chemical sensitivity than I had before. And so when we last spoke, I was trying to find what I could do for my heavy body impasto painting that wasn't an oil paint or didn't have. I discovered that I actually react to linseed oil. So even a natural oil paint will give me a headache. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of finding my way on what can my new favorite supplies be. And is there a way that I can still engage in printmaking also that won't drain me of my energy as well as the chemical stuff? And I'm still kind of working on the energy part for printmaking, but there is a wonderful tradition of water-based printmaking inks, especially in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so I have been collecting some materials so that when I'm feeling up to it, I can get into woodblock printing again. I absolutely love drawing on wood and cutting into it. And so when I feel up to doing that sanding, I have got all this stuff now. And in the meantime, for painting, I have really recommitted to my absolute love of ink and just painting directly with ink. And it's so immediate, and it requires some confidence. And I'm not someone who does a lot of sketching beforehand. I will draw directly with the ink, whether I'm using a pen or nib in it or a brush. And it's a good thing that I've rediscovered how much I love painting and drawing with it, because I've got over 100 fountain pen inks now. Only just slightly over 100, but still. So painting is a great way to go through inks and really, really explore them. And then also I have gotten a collection of like your basic primary set of acrylic heavy body paint. And, I can use those exactly as I would have oil. So when I feel like using those techniques, I can get that out. And I enjoy sort of a slightly expanded primary set because I get some kind of academic, creative satisfaction of figuring out how to match and color, mix colors that I'm seeing in nature. And it's like, oh, how do I get that exactly? I think, you know, it's not always, you're not always mixing the colors that you would think to do that. And so I enjoy that part of the process as well. And so when I try a new painting medium, I really like to go to just get myself a primary set with a couple extras. And the extras I tend to get are like a burnt sienna or a burnt umber. And maybe a Naples yellow. I don't know. It kind of depends on what it is. Oh, go ahead.
Just on that subject of using the heavy body acrylics, for people that haven't used oil paints, maybe haven't even used acrylic paints, you've done both, obviously. What's the difference between, aside from the properties, like I'm not talking about one is oil paint and one is acrylic paint, but in the actual using of them, where does the differences lie? Because I think it's probably something that people might be interested in knowing, and the fact that you've used both is a great sort of thing because, you know, you've got that experience. Obviously, I mean, I know where my mind is going, but I want to ask you, what are the differences in using them? Because, you know, with the heavy body acrylics, they do have similar similar feel, I guess. But where does the difference lie?
Well, there's definitely a tactile difference in using them and mixing them and so forth. And I don't know if this is happening inside my brain or if I'm really detecting that mixing acrylic paint feels lighter, like there's less resistance with brush to canvas. And then there's the fact that the acrylic paint dries way quicker. They dry almost at the same speed that watercolor or gouache dries. And so, you know, when I go out landscape painting with my friends, which I sometimes do, I've got about 2 hours before I start to really poop out and need to go home. And so it is really wonderful for me to be able to build up an environment using thick paint colors if I want and have enough time to put a number of layers on. Because they're drying almost as quickly as I put them down. Not quite that quickly, but and then when acrylic paint dries, it hardens and you just can't get it off. I'm thinking of a bedspread right now. There was a tube of acrylic paint on it and a kitten, and it didn't end well for the bedspread. Because I thought that I should wash the kitten off first.
Well, yes, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. So there's a reason why acrylic paint is often used as a primer for canvases, whether you're going to paint on it with oils or not. It's because it dries quickly. It doesn't come off the fabric, and it makes a nice surface. And so, and then the other big difference for me is now when I use acrylic paints, I don't get a headache.
Right. Perfect. Do you find the colors themselves because you often, I often hear, you know, oil paints, the range of colors and their closeness to reality, maybe is not the right word, but I'm going to run with it. Sunday morning as we record, and that's the words I came up with. So that's going to stay here in this recording. I'm just having trouble using language. But
Paired then.
Yes, we are. Yep, perfectly, perfectly so. Because, you know, I guess in some ways acrylic can often be looked down on, you know, like it's not as great as oil paint. This is a whole nother thing, a whole nother place we could dive down into. But, I mean, I think snobbery in art is literally the worst thing about art in general, is these people or these thoughts that one thing is better than another and because I just disagree so strongly. But in terms of talking to someone who's used both mediums, can you still get the colors that you want in your acrylic, work?
Well, yes. But I'm also better at mixing colors now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was using oil paints more, I was more dependent on the pre-mixed ones that I liked a lot. Because there are certain premixed colors that totally match the California landscape, you know, like Naples yellow and earth green. There you have it, you know. I don't know. I think that there's a depth and glossiness to oil paints that you maybe don't have in acrylics, just because you don't have that oil in there. There could be a difference in how the pigment is, whether it is literally lapis lazuli ground up to make that incredible blue, which is a color, that ultramarine cobalt blue. I've been obsessed with that for many years, which is a whole other podcast, as you say.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know. I think that when I work with acrylics, I know that this is the medium at hand and it's not going to be another medium.
Yep.
And so what is the version of what I'm seeing or what I want to communicate here that I can get with this medium?
That's a perfect way to look at it.
Thank you.
I'm curious, when you've finished, like let's say you've made an acrylic piece, acrylic artwork, and it's done, because they do dry differently, colors slightly different to when it goes on wet. Do you do anything as an additional finishing, like put some kind of medium over it to bring the colors out or something like that? Or are you content with it being as it is? Because as you've just said, that's the medium, that's what you're working with, and that's how it is.
I don't usually put another coating on top of it of anything. Part of that is because I never think I'm finished. I come home, I put the thing on the wall, and then I look at it the next day for the first time, practically, because who knows what it's like after I'm done, right? And then I look at it, and I continue to look at it, and eventually I think, that could be in a frame. And I don't know how many other artists, but I feel like this might be something similar to artists, where you could always work on your own paintings more. It's like, you know, in printmaking, you're kind of forced to say, this is done now, I'm going to print it. But even after it's printed, I will look at it and go, yeah, I could have done a little more subtraction in that area. I could have put a line there. You know, I wish I'd done that little space differently. I never think I'm done, yeah. Basically.
That's the artist life.
Yeah. But I don't know, maybe there is, like if I were going to sell the work to someone, maybe there would be something that I could learn about to put on it to help it be more light fast or something so that it could live its best life.
Yeah, with someone else.
Right. And then I've really been going back into watercolor and gouache painting as well.
Oh, nice.
And I tend to mix the two because I've got my paints on these little plastic palettes that I take out in the field with me. And I don't always take the big tubes out. The one that has the gouache on it, I forget that some of those colors are watercolor. And so I think I'm doing a gouache painting and I'm like, why is this so transparent? And so I've just kind of come to the conclusion that I'm always going to put watercolor and gouache together, and it's just going to come, whichever one I focus on is going to be whether I'm in the mood to work with transparency more, or if I'd like to build up and be able to put an opaque light color over a dark color. Mm-hmm. And with watercolor and gouache, my paintings tend to be smaller scale. I made with my scissors and stapler a watercolor insert for a traveler's notebook.
Oh, cool.
And so I like to do little like warm-up sketches in there. And then I have like a 12 by 13 inch watercolor block, which is a nice size to carry around for going outside to do my air quote finished painting on. And it's finished if I decide I like it later, I guess. And so I've been really reconnecting to watercolor techniques and remembering what actual watercolor techniques are instead of just using oil painting techniques with watercolor and then wondering why it's so muddy.
So how do you find the differences between using gouache and watercolor aside from the transparency or opaqueness, but in the general use of the two, do you find them interchangeable maybe or very similar in how they work for you or you work with them?
I do tend to approach them in a similar way. Mm-hmm. The gouache feels more like a acrylic light, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Like I can go impasto with it if I want to. Or do more watercolor buildup of thinner layers with it. And I kind of feel like it's kind of an intimate version of the heavy body paint experience.
Yeah.
For me. And I don't know if I have anything to back that up with other than how I feel when I use it.
Well, that's enough. That's plenty.
It feels more personal, and when I'm using the acrylic paints, I feel more like large scale, like it's more of a production. I don't know why.
Are you working outside all the time, or are you bringing it back in and working inside as well?
Most of the time, I am painting outside, and sometimes what that means is sitting out on my porch. Mm-hmm. And other times I will go out to a park. I'm in Santa Cruz, California, and there's a lot of really beautiful natural spaces here. And I will pick a gorgeous place to be with a friend, and we will go there and spend a lot of time picking just the right spot and then do as much art as we can before we get tired. I mostly like to do plein air landscape painting. And that just comes from my background of having my mind blown by seeing a Monet exhibit at age 8. But I also, you know, for drawing, mm-hmm. I will just sit in the chair that I'm at right now and draw whatever's in front of me. Like, here's a glass of water with an inch worth of water in it, you know, and here's my pencil sharpener. I'll draw, you know, a lot of what I've posted to social media has been kind of like this, a thing on my desk a day and just a thing that I like to draw, you know, whatever. If I feel like drawing and I don't want to gather things and go to a place, then I just use what I have right now and pick something that's in front of me and I might embellish it with my imagination or I might be, here's a way that I've incorporated art in my everyday life is I have a morning update journal. This kind of ventures into favorite thing category, but it's a Midori diary journal. And I use my modern Pelican fountain pens with it. Those are my official morning update journal pens. And I will often draw a little icon or a little illustration of the bird I saw, or, you know, here's the tea I'm drinking, you know, I put a pillow to represent how well I'm resting, you know, and I just kind of, I really enjoy that really personal, iconic way to represent just how I'm doing in the moment.
Yes.
And it lets me start the day with some graphic design, but I'm also free to draw from memory, and it can represent whatever I'm thinking of, but it isn't necessarily a portrait of it. I do get really excited when I draw from memory a bird, and you can really tell what kind of bird it is. I think one time I drew a hawk, and it ended up looking like a parakeet. So,
you know, whatever.
Exactly.
I really love that little practice that you've just described, that morning update journal, because for me it taps into something that I think a lot of people who are either wanting to improve their art skills with whatever medium they like using, that is irrelevant to this part of it, or they would like to learn something, you know, learn a new supply or how to use it, or just generally just want to make more art but feel like they don't have the time, I think simplifying it down to something like what you've just described is a perfect way to do it. You don't have to sit there with an A4 piece of paper or whatever and spend hours working on it, or even why not use an A4 piece of paper but only create a little small thing each time you sit down. Like, I think that's one of the biggest barriers I hear from people who really want to incorporate art more into their life, but just in their mind they don't have the time, because I think, and maybe this comes from our art education, like at school when we're younger, where it's, you know, because you're shown these completed pieces of art and you're told it took the person, I don't know, 20 hours to make it, or 100 hours. Like, do you know what I mean? I think we sort of have this thing in our head stopping us because we need great chunks of time and great big spaces to work in. But you're proving, and you're not, you know, so many of us do, it doesn't have to be this great big thing. It can be simply a small journal, a small sketchbook, and you may only just use a quarter of that page. Like, it's okay, and you may have 10 minutes. It's amazing what you can do in that short amount of time if you just sit down and do it, I think. I just think what you're doing with that is, aside from documenting how you feel or how your day is hoping to be or any of that, it's just a nice way to incorporate art into your everyday.
Yeah, And it does take 10 minutes or less. And I fill up one A5 sheet per day. And I have various template inserts to put behind there so I can enjoy working with arbitrary space constraints.
And
it's one of my favorite parts of the morning. It's between my eggs and my blueberries.
Perfect. I'm coming over to your place. I'll be there tomorrow.
You would have had to leave yesterday to be there tomorrow, I think. Yeah, okay. But yes.
I'm just going to step into my time machine.
You're invited.
So I'll be there like as soon as we're done. I'll just take my time machine and I'll be there.
Yeah. No, I'm all about incorporating art into just in place, art in place.
Yeah.
Do what you want, where you are with what you have. And it doesn't have to be good. It's just the practice.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because for me, art is as much, if not more, what happens inside me as I go through the experience of drawing, painting, my mental process, my emotions, you know, my breathing slows down. I find I'm focused,
you know. You're in
the yeah. There are times when I really need to express something in particular. And then it's almost like a frantic, stressful, like, I have to get this thing down. Yeah. But I always get to a place where I can step back a little bit and look at it and then kind of work with it for what does it actually need to be, though?
Yeah.
And will it end up being what I had in mind, or will the painting take me to a place where I didn't know it was going to go?
As they
and
do.
The ability to lighten up my own, it must end up this way. Let go of my own expectations for what I am doing, whether it's just a little icon in my planner or if I'm out in the field doing an elaborate impressionist extravaganza.
I really like when you work in a book like that too, is flipping back and seeing a number of things you're seeing, but I think the most important one is realizing that what you're making is better than you think at the time. Like, I think a lot of the time we need space between what we've created and then our actual appreciation of it. You know, like you can often, well, I know I do, I'm often making something, I think, oh, this is awful, or this is not what I thought it was going to be and it doesn't look right. And a week later or a month later or a year later, oh, actually, that was a lot better than I thought at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happens almost all the time. I will look back on even student art that I made when I was a student 100,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'll think, yeah, that was pretty good. I'm going to put that up on the wall, actually. You know, good job, younger me.
Yeah, we're our own worst critics.
Yeah. But there is a kind of a big change in my general approach that has come about since we last spoke that I wanted to talk about.
Absolutely.
And it was kind of it came about because in my web development business, I had been working with a business partner as a two-person team for a little over a decade. And last fall, he realized that he was able to retire, and he did. And so now I'm kind of rebuilding that whole business to carry me through the rest of, you know, my business having life and so forth. But I started to consider, if I were to retire from this particular business, what would I do? Mm-hmm. And I realized one thing that I would do is I would get out and create more art more. Like I could paint every day if I weren't in front of the computer. And then another thing I would do is I would, I have become, in the past few years, I have started teaching an ink wash painting class at the San Francisco Pen Show. Mm-hmm. And that is basically an intro workshop to painting with ink. And I do demos and I give practice time, and it's been a really wonderful experience for me. And what I realized that what I'd really like to do is develop that teaching experience into something that doesn't just happen once a year at this one very particular event.
Yep.
And so I'm starting to really center art in my whole life and not just have it be the side thing that I love to do for my sanity. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm not retiring from web development, but along with that, I am now building this this concept around this class. You know, yep. One thing I really get out of it is I am sharing something that I absolutely love with people who are ready to receive it. Like, you know, it's a paid adult class. And so the people who take the class, they're not in school forced to learn something. This is something that they would really like to do to enrich their life in some way. And I find that it's incredibly rewarding for me to share what I love about this technique and these supplies and my influences in that area with this group of people. And I could maybe I could do more in-person classes locally to me throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe, or another thing I'm considering is developing like a video workshop that would be available to people year round.
Yeah.
And potentially have a series of classes. And when it had been noted by other people that when I start talking about this business idea centered around this class, that I sit up straighter, I start to smile, my face brightens up apparently. So it really feels like centering art in my life right now is the right way for me to move forward, no matter mm-hmm. what else I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I know that in any business venture, you're not going to be an instant success, you know, and anything involving art is not going to be like, I don't have expectations of this lucrative lifestyle mm-hmm. as far as earning money, but it is something that I would like to develop, and it is something that I can develop with a community and within a community.
Yeah.
And to connect with people in person in the three-dimensional world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to become more connected in an online community as well. And so I don't know how many of these ideas I will be following through with. And what will happen, I'm going to start small. And right now I'm just focusing on the one class that I'm already teaching at the Pen Show, which is happening this August.
Yep.
And it just feels really good to finally bring this foundational love right to the front and center of my life.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's pen and ink.
So if someone, like, thinking about the August class, because at least that is definitely happening, I have no doubt that the in-person and the online workshops are also going to happen. But for right this second, if we're thinking about the August class, what are you teaching? What are people going to get? Let's say I have got my time machine and I'm popping on over and I'm going to be in the room. What would you be teaching me?
I go through brush handling techniques mm-hmm. and I talk about different ways of interacting with the water and the paper. I talk about, I talk about the materials that I've chosen for the class and why. Part of the what I provide for the sign-up fee is materials. So I'm providing a brush, ink to work with, papers, and little watertight containers so you can do your mixing and dilution. And then even take those ones home with you. Mm-hmm. And so the brief outline is I do a short demonstration of different techniques. And then I give time for people to practice and ask any questions that come up. Mm-hmm. And then the second part of the class is like free painting time where they are making their own art piece and incorporating whatever techniques they want. They can see if they can use all of them in one piece, or they can just focus on some that they were really connecting to. Mm-hmm. And I will sometimes bring objects to draw if you need a subject, and they're encouraged to bring their own still life objects. One person just got out their lunch and painted their lunch.
Yeah, why not?
Yep. Yeah. And then also you can use your imagination, of course. That is always there for you to draw on. Yeah. And so I like to build quiet space into the class time and also time to walk around and to talk to people individually.
Yeah.
That's the part of being an art school that I love the most, is walking around, seeing what everybody's doing and talking about what they're doing and how.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's called a critique, but I just find it to be a much friendlier experience than what that word implies.
Yeah.
I love talking about process and technique, and seeing how their artwork unfolds over the course of the class it's exciting for me.
Yeah, definitely. Is it when we're thinking about the actual ink itself, are you working with one color only, or are we using multiple colors?
Well, since it's a focus on just learning techniques, mm-hmm. I like to start with just black ink.
Good. Yeah.
And I could give an hour lecture on black ink and my own experience with thinking I was so cool using a color ink, and then my teacher going and calling me out for thinking I was cool, basically. But with black ink, you can get an incredible range of values, from a very light shade to the deepest, darkest saturation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a really wonderful way to have sort of an introductory exploration,
yes,
of the medium, and without getting sidetracked by a really fancy color. Maybe there's shimmer, maybe there's sheen. You know, what I'm teaching is kind of giving people a way to explore their ink so that they can go and use any color of ink they want.
Yep.
And kind of find out what it's capable of.
Of course. Yeah.
And I think the
foundation of learning to use black ink and its monochromeness, which is not really the right word either, but hey, Sunday morning, is you can then take that foundation and apply it to another single color, because I think we often just think black, or I guess black and white, is monochrome, but it's not really. Like blue, only has so much variety within that one single blue ink or a green ink or a yellow ink. Like, and I think we don't sort of tend to think about that, because once we think color, we think the whole rainbow, right? We think using everything. But you can achieve so much variety within a single color that isn't simply black as well. And I think what you're learning from just using that one black is amazing, because, you know, okay, so you might decide you've done the class, I love what I've learnt, my favorite color is pink, I'm going to go and buy a pink fountain pen ink. Now I'm going to just see what I can do with that one single color. And it doesn't have to be a sheening or a shimmering ink at all. It can just simply be a pink. And you can achieve so much through that as well. And I think that's a really cool thing that perhaps, you know, people might not necessarily think about when they're just learning the fundamentals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is also true, that when you see a work that is done just in black with all the different shadings of depth and stuff, that your brain kind of fills in. You know, when you're watching a black and white movie, at first it's like, oh, everybody looks really gray. But, you know, by the time you're 10 minutes in there, you're in that world.
Yep.
And it's not the same as looking at color, but you get into that space, and you can really communicate a lot just using values. Mm-hmm. And you see that with graphite drawings, or those incredibly detailed drawings that people do with the ballpoint pen.
Yes.
Getting back to experimenting then with other colors and using what I'm going to call a limited palette, like just one or two different colors. That is incredibly, I love that exercise, that assignment of saying, okay, well, I'm only going to use, say, this red blue pencil, which now I'm thinking is on a favorite thing list. you know, that's, we need to do those pencils.
We need to do 10 different favorite lists with you, I think, Julia.
No, I have too many favorites. But so this is a limited palette just in itself. And and I love deciding, oh, am I going to do shadow with one and highlight with another? How am I going to use just these two things? I like to imagine that the fundamentals that I'm giving students with the class will help them, well, as I say, explore the depth and range of their materials that they love to collect. Because I imagine that the people at a pen show taking an ink class might be people who love inks.
Maybe.
And I'm certainly one of those people.
Yeah, I think I am too. I think you've got a really good class there. It is a damn shame I can't just pop on over for August. I could do with a holiday for starters. I really feel like I need my own personal jet, because I have all these conversations with people that are not in my country. And I want to go and see you all and meet you all and, you know, take the classes. But at least you are considering the online world, which is fantastic, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't just live around the corner from you either. So it'll be good for them. They can, you know, when you're ready, they can take your classes online, which is also cool. And I think that's probably one of the nice things to have come from this awful pandemic we are living through, is people's abilities or flexibility or just the new thought to them that actually online classes don't have to be boring or just something they might not have even considered before, because it has opened up a whole new world. It was there already. I'm not saying it wasn't, but I think people who may not have ever considered taking an online class pre-pandemic, I think there are a lot of people that have And are grateful for it and worthy for, and, you know, have jumped into it with a lot more willingness than they may not have had beforehand.
Yeah. And I think it's also gotten people to think of, well, I'd love to take a class in this kind of medium, but there's nothing available around me in my local town or wherever they are. And they might not have thought of before to look online.
Exactly. Yep.
And now when you do, you find a lot, you find a rich world of offerings. And so, yeah, I'm excited to potentially be joining that world. And I have a small goal. My goal for, you know, the next 3 years is I would like to at least have a video version of the class that I teach at the Penn Show. I feel like that is achievable.
Absolutely, it is. Yes.
And hey, I get to invest in lighting and video stuff.
Yay for buying more things.
Yeah, it's a business expense, right?
Correct. So. Exactly. Yeah.
Business and education.
Purchasing more supplies. That's all business expense. So bring it on.
Yeah. No, I love every aspect of this so far.
Good.
Other than the sudden pangs of self-doubt. But those go away when I talk about it and realize how big I'm smiling.
Well, I for one agree with those who have said it to you. I can see it on your face and hear it in your voice. And to me, that's enough to go with it. If it makes you feel good inside and outside, because it can be seen outside, then absolutely I'm all for it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's worth following through on what happens in the future. I don't know. It might, like with a painting, this idea yep. might turn into something I didn't expect.
Yep.
But it's, I owe it to myself to follow through on this and to center art in the life that I have now.
Definitely. I wish you luck, Julia. I'm excited for you. And I think we're going to have to do another update.
I would love that.
Thank you so much for making time. This has been such a good chat. And honestly, I feel like you and I could chat forever. But, you know, I say that a lot and I really don't think the listeners want to just hear us chat for hours on end. So chance. But, you know, maybe offline we need to do a bit more of that, I think. But thank you so much for making time. Yes. And would you just finish off by letting listeners know where they can find you, please?
Certainly. So my new and improved art class website can be found at either juliavanderwick.com mm-hmm. or the much easier to spell inkpaintingclass.com. And then I also got inkwashpaintingclass.com. They all go to the same place.
Cool.
And right now what that is a page describing the class and a way to sign up for it if you will be going to the Penn Show. And then I have also started blog posts where I talk about my finished work and projects and anything else that I feel like making a blog post about. So eventually there will be more content on it.
Sounds
and then good. I am on Instagram as Julia VDW.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a pleasure as always.